It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. We've got Nathan Forlina in studio with us. Feels like summer. It's going to be 80 degrees the next couple days, including for trick-or-treat on Thursday. What's going on with you today, man?
I'm living the dream, coming off a great day at school. We were watching 42 in my one class, so super pumped about that. I love that movie. But you know, it's a good day. I'll tell you what. The world's heating up here for the next week, so hopefully we can get through this and be all over with it because I'm sick and tired of it.
Isn't it nice when you go to school and you get to check out and, like, watch a movie?
I love it. It is my favorite time when you can just check out. I mean, I'm just sitting there.
Whether you're in fourth grade, college.
Yes.
When you go and just watch a movie, you know you got a nice day.
That's why I always try to take the movie classes if they're offered, because I can just sit back. I took two movie classes my first semester. That's all we did was watch movies. It was the greatest thing. But I will say, I'm the only one who's seen 42 in a sports class, which is insane to me, because that's, I feel like, a very big cultural phenomenon movie. It's probably my generation, probably the best baseball movie. I mean, obviously, you have the older stuff like Major League and The Sandlot, all that in the 90s.
The comedies and stuff.
Yeah, but I feel like that 42 is probably the best actual, like, true life based on event. In my opinion, it's the most well done, at least.
Yeah, it's well done. Baseball's really hard to do, because it's such a hard game. Mm-hmm. You can't fake playing baseball. Now, the famous Kevin Costner movie For Love of the Game, he's actually pitching in that. Mm-hmm. And he's throwing 80 miles an hour. But they can, which is hard. I mean, hell, most people who have ever been born can't throw 80 miles an hour. Costner's doing it, and they're able to make it look even faster with stuff. Now, Major League, the story goes that Charlie Sheen was throwing like 90. That of all the actors who have ever played a baseball role, Charlie Sheen probably has the best arm. I mean, because in reality he was, but it's hard to fake baseball, because you know, if you have a flaw in your swing, every baseball purist will notice. You know, if you're not throwing the ball hard, everybody will know. So baseball movies, boxing. I have a problem with boxing movies. By the way, Thursday we're doing our Halloween show. We've been waiting for that for a month. I have a problem with boxing movies. I enjoy Rocky. Rocky's very entertaining. It's all bull crap. These guys would be dead. They'd all be dead.
Exactly.
They're taking 80 shots directly to the face with no protection. I mean, they would all be dead if these boxing movies were real.
Yeah, they're catching some nice right hooks and somehow staying up there every single time.
Yeah.
So I will say, an underrated boxing movie. Have you ever seen Cinderella Man?
I have. Very good.
I like that movie. I don't know why that sticks out to me, but that's a really good underrated movie that people don't talk about, especially in the sports movie. If you haven't watched Cinderella Man, who is it?
Russell
Crowe. Yeah, Russell Crowe. Incredible, incredible movie. I really do enjoy it. So if you haven't seen that, that's a good movie to watch as well.
We've got our terrific Tuesday here. We've got this show. We're going to talk Penn State and Steelers. Then at 5 o'clock, we've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show. Kreider will be in, Bortner as well. Steelers with a nice win last night over a terrible Giants team. The Giants aren't any good. Steelers probably should have won that game by 17 points.
That's what happens in the NFL, though.
Yeah,
teams
call
back.
I mean,
every single game.
Ravens
are
losing to the Browns.
Exactly. I mean, the Niners, you saw they were up, 30 to 13 or something like that. All of a sudden, it's 30 to 24.
Does happen. And so, you know, I've seen some Steelers people say, they kind of were toying with the Giants. But you know what? The Giants have some good players. They have some good players on defense. But the Steelers won. They're 6-2 heading to the bye.
That Tracy kid from the Giants,
he's
going to be explosive.
It looked like, I don't know if what the news was today, looked like he got a concussion.
Yeah,
he definitely.
I mean, they pulled him out right away.
And that's
a
shame.
Yeah,
but he was playing well. Russell Wilson played well. We'll talk about all that throughout the day. I want to get your thoughts, Nathan. We're opening up the phone lines. I got a fun question for everybody. All right, ready for this? 946-0435.
I've got what I think you're going to say.
Have no idea.
Okay.
You have no idea, because there are a lot of different ways I could go, but I literally just kind of thought of this about 20 minutes ago.
Right.
So this is a fun way to approach a bunch of different topics. Which team wins a championship first? Penn State, Steelers, the Penguins, or
you can roll the Pirates out. Will not win.
I can't even say the Pirates without laughing. That's such a joke. Never in a gazillion years will they win a World Series.
You can.
So if you call and say the Pirates, you are banned from the show forever.
Okay.
So I literally can't even say the Pirates without laughing, unless they get three more Paul Skeens. But they'd still find a way to screw it.
Everybody needs to stay healthy, and everybody needs to be on a magical run, clicking at the right time. There's no chance.
But you still got Sid and Gino with the Penguins, although they're kind of a mess, and they're beyond, you know. So maybe, who knows what the next era might be? You got the Steelers, who look like they've got a real NFL quarterback. And then you've got Penn State, which is ranked third in the country. So which team do you think wins a title first? Steelers have not won one in, 15 years?
Yep, 15 years.
15 years. Pirates have not won one since 79. Penn State has not won one since 86. And regardless of 94, they didn't win it. And Who am I missing?
Penguins
won 17. One like 6-17?
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah, so, all right, 9460435. And that's a good way to segue into what you probably thought I was going to ask.
I was thinking Pribula or Aller.
We are going to talk about that, too, because I talked about that a lot on yesterday's show. Okay. But is Penn State for real? Is Penn State a national championship caliber team? Mm-hmm. Do you buy into that yet? What do you think?
So I'm going to answer your first question about Pirates, Penguins, Steelers or Nittany Lions. So right now, I would rule out the Pirates, like we did mention. There's no chance of that. I hate to break to all these diehard Pirates fans. I don't think they're gonna win a championship under Bob Nutting. So you can get rid of that. The Penguins, I think they're kind of at the back half of their years. I think they're having a lot of goaltending issues. I believe they sent down Jari to one of their. I don't really know how it works in hockey. It's not really a farm system, but maybe
they kind of have. It's farm. They have a Triple A Scranton Wilkesboro.
Yes, that's where he's gone, I believe. So I think hockey, I feel like, is a very, the best teams usually prevail in hockey. So I think that you don't see as underdog, like you see the Diamondbacks make the World Series every once in a while and that type of stuff. So I'm gonna roll out the Penguins here. So between the Nittany Lions and Steelers, right now, I would go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't feel good about that because I think the Steelers are a team that is a very streaky team. I feel like they could either be super hot and it could all come crashing down at any moment, because I think the style they play just isn't. I still don't know if it's sustainable. And obviously, with Wilson coming in, it's given a little bit of a jolt to that offense. I think they look a lot better, but still not perfect. They had trouble closing out the game yesterday. I think that kind of stuff needs to get cleaned up. I think they need to, you know, be better closers, but I think their special teams, it keeps getting brought up. That special teams unit is keeping them in winning games. I mean,
somebody called last week and said, Danny Smith, the mortal enemy of chewing gum.
Absolutely. That dude,
last night. He had to have like 10 things of chewing gum in his mouth.
Well,
it's hilarious.
It's the clip when he's screaming at the Jets whenever they block or Minka goes over the top, doesn't really elevate it. What they call it, leverage.
Yeah.
I mean, that gum, there had to have been at least 20 pieces. I'm not joking. There might have been 20 pieces of double bubble in that mouth, and that thing was about to. He could have thrown that thing at the ref and probably knocked it out.
I just love the phrase, the mortal enemy. It might have been Kreider that said it on our show last week. That was good.
It's great. But I think the Nittany Lions, I just think in college football, I don't know what it is. I feel like maybe it's up front, like a Georgia or even Ohio State, which we'll probably get into at some point. I just think they're better up front than Penn State is. I think that's going to overmatch in certain games, and that's why I don't think maybe they can win a national championship. Maybe in the coming future, I think they need to focus a lot more on their in the trenches, both offensive and defensively. I think their edge rushers are good, but in between the tackles, I don't know about Penn State.
So what you're doing is not incorrect. I would say it's short-sighted. You're looking at all these teams, what they have now.
Yes.
I don't think any of these teams are winning a title in the next 5 to 10 years. So when I look at it, I think of tendencies, what the organizations are. There's no way for the Pirates. There's no way.
No way.
The Penguins, I, there's, I, still kind of harbor. If they got in and Sid and Gino were playing great and a goalie got hot, could they make a deep run? It's possible, but I don't see that. And then
their team's not deep enough.
Done, they're probably done for a decade. Mm-hmm. So then we're looking at Penn State. So with the Steelers, you're in a conference with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. So I'm not just talking about this year, excuse me, and you've also got Lamar Jackson. I don't think the Steelers win a Super Bowl in the next 10 years.
You're not crazy to say that.
I think they can be good, and I think they can make the playoffs a good bit, and I think, you know, whether it's Russell Wilson in the next 2 or 3 years, and maybe
Do you think they make a Super Bowl in the next 10 years? Do you think they can?
I think they can make a Super Bowl in the next 10 years. I don't know if it would be this quarterback or the next one.
Yeah.
Okay. So Penn State is interesting. It's been 38 years since Penn State won a national title. But until this year, the path to that was so minuscule that you have to kind of throw it all out. I believe Penn State will make a 12-team playoff 60% of the time, at least. Maybe 70%. Hell, it could be 80%.
I was thinking 75 to 80%, I think, honestly.
Right. So at least, so 6 out of every 10 years, I think you've got a seat at the table. And it wouldn't necessarily be like the Chiefs where you get on a dynasty and you've got the same, you know, the same quarterback and mm-hmm. coach and they get on a run, or like the Patriots did. You know, in college, it's going to be kind of a rotating, revolving door of people probably every 3 years or so. Because if you get a couple guys, you know, maybe 2 years you got a great team, you could win back-to-back titles like Georgia has or Alabama has. But then those guys are gone. You got to replace them.
You'll probably have the blue bloods, like the six teams that will probably be there almost, like we said, 80% of the times, and everything else is going to be a rotating door, if I had to guess.
So my answer to this, I really, really want to say the Steelers, because I think that the NFL, there's so much parity, but I don't know that the Steelers are anywhere close from a quarterback standpoint to win it all, and I do like Russ. So kind of begrudgingly here, I think mathematically, if we're doing these percentages of what are your chances to make the playoff every year, I think Penn State enters every year with a 60 to 70% chance to make the playoffs. The Pirates don't have that, obviously. The Penguins probably won't have that. Do the Steelers have a 70% chance to make the playoffs every year?
You know, I will say odds-wise over the last couple decades, probably, actually, 60 to 70%.
It's probably right in that. So then, what's the easier path, the NFL playoffs or the college football playoff? I still think if you're Penn State and you're the 7th or 8th best team in the country every year, maybe you're the 5th or 6th best team in the country every year, I think, theoretically speaking, you have more of a hypothetical chance to win a championship. So my answer here is going to be Penn State, actually. And now, I don't think James Franklin's ever going to win a title, but I'm just playing the math here. I'm playing the odds with getting into the playoffs 60. They can lose by 30 Saturday. They can lose by 30. And they're still, if they go undefeated the rest of the way, they're still going to host a first-round game against, my God, I saw the other day, Boise, for God's sake. I'll take Penn State in a heartbeat over Boise. Mm-hmm. And then you know who – this was John McGonagall from Penn Live. You know who their second-round opponent was?
It'd probably be BYU.
For crying out loud, as the Big 12 champion. Oh, my God, you're in the Final Four. If you're Penn State and you've got Boise in the first round at Beaver Stadium, and then you've got BYU – now, look, BYU could beat Penn State, but I think Penn State would be favored – then you're
it'd be a neutral site game, too. It wouldn't be a home game for BYU.
Then you're in the Final Four. Mm-hmm. And anything can happen. Hell, TCU made the championship game a couple years. I still can't believe TCU beat Michigan. That's unbelievable.
That was a great game.
It was a great game. But Michigan, if you remember that, Michigan stopped playing Michigan football. All this 90% run, they were Harbaugh, for whatever reason, let McCarthy throw the ball every damn play. So anyway, I'm going to go Penn State because the path to the playoff is clearly there, and if you can get a first-round home playoff game and now you're in the final eight, you know, it doesn't – and especially the way they do it. Like if Penn State were to get a BYU – now, if they get Georgia in the second round, they're done. If they get Texas in the second round, they're done. Okay. But if you get a BYU or a bad conference champion, you see what I'm getting at, that there's a path to at least be on the doorstep.
I will say, I think that those rules, I believe, are going to be changed
right
here.
Because yeah,
if you get a BYU team that's 10-2 over, let's say, an 11-1, either Ohio State or Penn State, that's going to not, they're going to have to host a game and they're not going to just get a bye. That stuff's going to be tweaked.
You would think, but
it will be.
It is a way for them to value the conference, which means valuing conference championship games, which means continuing to put a lot of financial stake on conference championship games. If the conference championship games have significant meaning, then that's guaranteed money for those games before you even get to the playoff.
What happens, though, if these big teams leave, let's say, Clemson, Florida State, they join the SEC or something like that? Although Florida State's down, they're still a big program. So let's say they move. I think BYU and Iowa State are going to be in the Big 12 for years to come, but, you know, Big 12 team, I'm trying to even think who's in the Big 12 anymore.
Kansas State, Oklahoma State.
That conference might, TCU. That feels like a very watered-down conference.
I agree. And so,
still good talent. You still have good talent, but you have, like, mid-tier
teams. They're not a group of five conference. Kansas State, BYU, these are good teams.
They are good teams.
Penn State or BYU could beat Penn State on a given day. We're going to get to that a little bit later. Are you sold on Penn State? I'm not.
No.
Okay, you're trailing 10-7 at the half against Wisconsin, and every Penn State fan in the world is wondering why the hell can't this team play football in the first half.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that in a bit. But just in terms of, you know, chances to win a championship, the way it kind of plays out is there are a lot of things in Penn State's favor. 107,000-seat stadium. You're getting a $700 million renovation. You've got a coach that we think will be there for a good while longer. But if James Franklin leaves, this whole discussion is out the window. Because you don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what kind of recruiter you're going to get. You might get a better game coach, but not as good of a recruiter. You might get a better recruiter. You know, James is considered a really good recruiter, but Penn State's 10th, 12th in the country a lot of years. You can do better than that at Penn State. You might get a better recruiter, but a worse game coach than James Franklin, for crying out loud. So I look at it like this year as an example. It literally does not matter what happens Saturday. It literally doesn't matter. You can lose to Ohio State, and as long as you take care of business the rest of the way, you're 11-1, and you're at worst
6, 7.
Because their schedule is kind of bad, maybe a 7, but you can at least be an 8 no matter what.
You're hosting a playoff game.
If you're
an
8, you're hosting a playoff game in the first round.
Yes. Now, the reason I'm thinking the Steelers, and here's the only problem with the Steelers, is they played in a conference which had the Brady dynasty with the Patriots, now you got Mahomes. So that might hinder it a little bit. But if you put that team in the NFC, there's a good chance they make a couple Super Bowls in the next decade just based on trends. I'm even looking at Super Bowl winners and that type of stuff. There's a lot of one-off teams here that end up winning championships. The Rams 2 years ago, you had the Buccaneers. Obviously, Brady was on the Buccaneers at that point. You had the Eagles go in there and win. Denver, Seattle, the Ravens, Giants. I mean, it feels like the NFL, there's more rotating doors than college, because I feel like college is always Alabama. You had Georgia. You had a couple years where it was Clemson in the run. Ohio State really, I mean, they can get there, but
they haven't won it in 10 years. 14.
Yeah, so I feel like it's usually the same 5 or 6 teams in college football. I think there's more. It can be more in the NFL. You could see over the course of, let's say, 20 years, 12 different winners, and in college you might only see 5 or 6.
But this could go either way for our discussion here. Mm-hmm. Again, if you want to join us, 946-0435, which team has a chance to win a championship first? The Pirates, which is a joke, Penguins, Steelers, or Penn State? The NFL, you have the Browns beating the Ravens. Does that help or hurt the Steelers' chances of trying to win a Super Bowl? Because obviously you have a parity filled league, so you could have a great, great Steelers team mess up against a bad team in the playoffs, or you could have a mediocre Steelers team catch fire in the playoffs and make a run. Yeah. Either one of those things is possible in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what the Giants did twice against the Patriots.
Exactly,
they were mediocre. I think they were both wild card teams whenever. I think they were both .500 and they end up winning the Super Bowl. So I think in the NFL it's more of a coin flip.
I think the Giants were 10-6.
10-6. I know they were .500 one year.
When Aaron Rodgers won, I think they were 10-6.
Yes. I mean, in the NFL, I think the talent is so close that, I mean, even a team between, let's say, the Browns and the Ravens, the talent isn't crazy. There's obviously the Ravens are more skilled in certain areas, but I mean, you look, The Browns clearly have a more dominant defensive line, in my opinion, than the Ravens' defensive line is pretty good. I take that back. But at least on the outsides with Za'Darius Smith and Myles Garrett, they did have a better pass rush. I don't know. I think the talent is a lot more close, especially, you know, the Chiefs right now. Chiefs, Steelers, you look at that top of the AFC, Chiefs, Steelers, Bills. I don't think there's a ton of talent differentiator right there. Obviously, you have Mahomes, and I think the quarterback's the big thing with those two teams over the Steelers is their quarterback's much more dynamic. I would pick Allen and Mahomes over in a heartbeat over a game than Russell Wilson. So, but, I mean, you look at the rest of their team. Are the Steelers really much different from them? I don't know.
Well, and defensively, the Steelers hold their own with anybody.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the great unknown in these kinds of scenarios. The Steelers, if they can hold you to under 20 points, which they can just about anybody. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about the Chiefs, especially if they have to go on the road.
Well, we'll see Christmas. We'll see really what that is made of, Christmas Day.
Yeah, but even there, though, that's not the playoffs.
It's not the playoffs, but it's a big game.
It is.
It might determine some positioning and seeds.
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, no matter what happens in that game, I would still feel differently going into a playoff game.
Yeah, both teams are going to make playoffs. There's a chance they'll
be
each
doing
other.
Different things.
Yeah, for sure.
With regards to Penn State, I want to close this segment on this. Can we buy into Penn State this year? My answer is no. I think they're going to lose. I'm picking them to lose Saturday by at least a touchdown. I'm going to take Ohio State to cover. And we'll talk Drew Aller, Bo Prabula here in a few minutes because that's a very fun mm-hmm. discussion. But, you know, even if they win Saturday, you know, they could win a Big Ten championship, maybe face Oregon in the Big Ten title game. I still see some issues with this Penn State team going up against great competition. And by that, I mean Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Oregon. Beyond that, I think Penn State could beat anybody in the country. Alabama, Ole Miss, Tennessee, LSU, Texas A&M, anybody. I think Penn State, on a given day, on a neutral field, could probably beat any of those teams. I don't really think they could beat those top four teams, you know, maybe a couple times out of 10. But I don't know that I'd like their chances against – and ultimately, that's what we're talking about here. So do I buy into Penn State as a really good football team? Yes, there are a lot of really good players. KJ Winston is out. That's a first-round potential draft pick.
Yeah.
Denied Dennis Sutton sat out the second half. They were losing. Drew Aller sat out the second half. They were losing. They still found a way to crush Wisconsin on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of good players on that team. But I still haven't seen enough quality play for 60 minutes against a good team. We just haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. I would say I can buy into Penn State because I think they can compete with teams. I think, you know, they obviously, I mean, they're hosting Ohio State and they're underdogs. I think, you know, against those top four or five teams, they're going to be underdogs. But I think they can compete with them. And like you said, like, I mean, 3 out of 10 times, I think they beat those teams. You know, I think they have a 30% shot winning against Ohio State on Saturday. It could happen any given Saturday. So,
yeah,
I that's why I'm saying, like, I buy into the fact that they can beat these teams. I don't think they're better than these teams one bit. I'm not going to be delusional and say, listen, they should not be favored against Ohio State. Ohio State has a much better talent on their team. They got Will Howard, who I think is a better quarterback than Drew Aller or Bo Prabula. They got better receivers, all that type of stuff. But I mean, I would say you combine to the fact that they can compete against these good teams, and I think if you put them up against a Georgia, it'd be a good game. I don't think they'd win, but it'd be a good game.
All right, so your ultimate answer on which team wins a championship first is who?
I'd go with the Steelers.
All right, and I'm actually going to go with Penn State here. I don't think any of this stuff is happening within, you know, a 5 to 10 year period.
Okay, so you don't think one of those teams can win a championship in the next 10 years? I don't think so.
I can fall back on that. None of them are going to win championships.
I will say I think one of them. I don't know who it'll be. I think one of them are going to win at least one championship.
All right, we'll take some phone calls. We're going to get into the Drew Aller, Bo Prabula discussion.
I love it.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelthy. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes. Zelthy can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s, but for 80 to 90% less and shipped directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Just send them a text.
Text TURN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Text TURN to 200-300 right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text TURN to 200-300. That's TURN to 200-300. TURN to 200-300.
At Shoofly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoofly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoofly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoofly's fit specialists, visit their website, shooflystores.com. Shoofly. Your feet will thank you.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experienced with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5330.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
All right, we got our phone lines open. JK wants to talk Pirates, it says. All right, JK.
Oh, boy.
What do you got, buddy?
Okay, now hear me out. Don't be banning me because I enjoy your show and your content.
Oh, we're getting I'm on edge here, man.
He's got his finger on.
I got my finger on the hang up button here, JK.
Oh, here it is. There's supposed to be a new major league contract coming up 27-28. I got that from DK Sports in Pittsburgh. And if there's a new contract, I'm hoping. Okay, one word, hope. I just love to see the Pirates, at least in the playoffs, let alone World Series. And I don't think I'm the only one. Do you have anything on the new Major League contract? Go ahead.
Nathan and I were just talking during the break that it is possible for the Pirates to make some kind of run. They have arguably the best pitcher in baseball. Paul Skeens is so phenomenally good that if you find your way into a wild card game and you got Paul Skeens against any other person living on the planet, you'd like the Pirates' chances to move on. Then you got a short series. Then you got a short series winning 3 out of 5.
I think they're built to win those short series because they have Keller and Jones.
The problem would be if Skeens went game one, Skeens went the wild card game, he could really maybe only pitch one game in that short series.
Well, wild card's 3-game series.
Yeah, correct, correct, series. Right. Yeah, so that's a good point. That's a good point. So in turn, like Nathan made a good point that they are built for those short series. I do not discount the fact because they've got some good pitching. Keller's got to get a lot better, and Jones has got to improve.
He's been more consistent, Keller does.
But the Pirates, I do not dismiss the possibility that the Pirates could get into the playoffs during this next 3 to 4 year window with Paul Skeens. I think winning the World Series is a completely different discussion. I think that getting into the playoffs, and we saw it in 13, 14, 15, Pirates got in there. They weren't remotely close in the same universe to being able to win a World Series. So that's why I feel confident, because to win a World Series, JK, you not only would have to get the Pirates would have to go spend the kind of money down the stretch to make a trade to get the right kind of guys. I don't really ever see them doing that kind of stuff.
I like how you worded that, and I like how you worded just get in there, because you know what? I remember the 71 series, the 79 series. It was so magical. But could you imagine the Pirates on now? There wouldn't be any ratings for these big networks, and you know what? They won't even want the Pirates on there. So it's all about salary cap and nutting.
Well, and that's you asked the great question about, you know, what the financial structure of Major League Baseball could look like in the future. The only way I would ever sit here and tell you that the Pirates could have a chance is if there were a salary cap. But with a salary cap, there would have to be a salary.
Correct.
There would have to be a salary floor. Okay, if we're talking specifically from the Pirates, if there's a salary cap, I want to say the Yankees and the Dodgers were somewhere around $300 million-ish. I think the Yankees, the Dodgers.
330.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Okay, the Pirates were at 90. Pirates were 80 or 90.
Wow.
Okay, so if there's a salary cap, let's put a salary cap at 325. If you don't have a salary floor, the Pirates still might spend 70 or 80. So if you had a salary cap of 325, the salary floor to me would need to be within like 70 to 75% of that. So give or take, what, 200, 220 million?
Yeah.
You think the Pirates are ever going to spend 220? That's where if you don't have a salary floor, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. The Pirates are not going to go spend that money.
Thank you for answering that. And one last question. Does Bob Nutting still have controlling interest in the Altoona Mirror?
He does. His family still owns the Altoona Mirror. Yep. And about, last I checked, it was like 35 newspapers around the country.
You're doing a great job. Don't ban me. I can't tell you how much it was great to see the Pirates compete. Thank you for taking my call.
Great stuff, man. Those are great questions because that is the only way the Pirates would be relevant.
Baseball is such a weird sport. You never know, but it's got to take – you either got to strike while the iron – you got – like they – if they're going to do it, they're going to do it in these 4 years because of Skeens. That's the only
reason. Yes, and then after Skeens – yeah. So, but if you're the Dodgers and the Yankees, you're not ever voting for a salary cap. Never.
Absolutely not.
Not ever.
Whenever you have teams like the Rays, the Pirates.
The Dodgers signed Shohei Ohtani to a $700 million contract. The richest contract ever by the Pirates – I don't know if it was Ke'Bryan Hayes or Mitch Keller, one of the two. They might have broken it with the other one. Like $70 million.
Might have been Reynolds with 94.
It was Reynolds.
Maybe.
Okay.
I think you got broken
Reynolds.
Off.
Okay. So, yeah. I knew it was within that. It was, so, you got Ke'Bryan Hayes, Keller, and Reynolds at 70, yes. 80, $90 million.
And then you have the Dodgers.
Dodgers, $700
million. And you know what they do the next week? $325 million to Yoshinobu Yamamoto. It's insane.
Right.
It is insane what they can do with that.
So, if you're those teams, you're not in business to pay for everything that the Pittsburgh Pirates do. And that's kind of what Major League Baseball does anyway.
I hate to break it to people, but sports is a business at the end of the day. And, you know, owners can be greedy like Bob Nutting, but they got to realize if they can make, they will get money from a postseason run. They will get a better turnout and all this. I mean, that's what the Dodgers do. That's why they spend so much, is because guess what? Those ratings in the postseason, they're up. Guess what? You're getting 45,000 people every night. You know how much the Pirates are getting? Probably 12,000. So I don't get it.
We got Steve in Altoona. What's up, Steve?
Not a whole lot. How are you?
How you doing, pal? What's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I think the Pirates get sold before the other three win a championship.
So let me think that through. I have not. You think the Pirates get sold before the other three.
They had one playoff appearance in how many years? And I could see in the next 5 to 10 years, it wouldn't surprise me with the lack of, I mean, let's face it, now with Skeens, that's the only time they really get any fans. And over the course of time, they get fans in the beginning of the year. And it's like, I just think the fans just get more and more frustrated because every time you get somebody, they're always selling them. They're off to the Yankees at some point or some other team or the Astros. Or, I mean, we could go through a list of Pirate pitchers that we've seen in the playoffs over the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Garrett Cole is there.
Yep. Glasnow, Garrett Cole. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could go on and on.
The list of former Pirates players. Let me mention this to you. I'm going to give you kind of as much insider information as I have to give because I worked for Bob Nutting for 25 years at the Altoona Mirror. This is based on what I know, what I learned about Nutting, the family, all of that stuff. So this is the best kind of advice that I can give you that maybe could give some of you a little hope, okay? All right, so here it is. Bob Nutting is 62. It's a young man. He's in good shape. He's still a young man. There's no reason for Bob Nutting to sell the Pirates while he is alive and in good shape and able to run them and oversee the business. There's no reason for him to do it because they make so much money. But here's the inside information that I can tell you. This is just from some kind of discussions, just some hunches, that kind of thing. I am not certain that other members of the Nutting family want to run the Pittsburgh Pirates after Bob. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm meaning his kids. If you have a very successful business and your business is tremendous and you've run it and it's been awesome, that doesn't always mean your kids want to run it. Sometimes your kids want a different life. Sometimes your kids don't want to be the most hated people in Pittsburgh. Bob Nutting is the single most hated person in Pittsburgh, period. There's no one in Pittsburgh who likes Bob Nutting. Even his best friends probably despise Bob Nutting, okay? But my point is, if and when, you know, if he gets to a point either where he's too old to run it or if he were, you know, God forbid, I don't want this to happen, but if he were to pass at some point, 15, 20, 25 years, I don't know that members of his family, from what I know, would all be keen on running the Pirates. Therefore, that could be a potential to sell the team at some point. But if you're making, $50 to $70 million a year on your business, why would you ever sell that business?
True. I just, with the way the fans and, you know, I don't know. I guess it's just.
If you're okay, and maybe not okay, sir, if you are able to live with being the most hated person in your city, but make $50 to $100 million a year, some people are equipped to do that. I'm not. I don't want to be hated. I don't want to be liked by everybody, but I certainly don't want to be hated by everybody. But I'm telling you, for a good while, Bob Nutting has probably been the single most hated person in all of Western Pennsylvania. And if he's gotten through it this far, being able to deal with it, I'm not sure what would change to make him sell the team at any point.
Gotcha.
Great discussion, man.
Could I transition to another thought here?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I'll be honest now, in regards to Penn State football, once Aller's done, and I hope the best for him and his health and everything, but we've seen the pocket passer with Hackenberg and Aller now.
Yep.
And we've seen the McSorley, Probola athlete that can pass decent.
Yep.
From here on out, I only ever want to see them recruit the athlete that can run, because I just think the athlete quarterback that can run and pass a little bit just seems to fit the offense of what Franklin is wanting to do.
And
we
keep getting calls, but we're going to discuss Aller versus Probula. I would take Trace McSorley in a heartbeat over Drew Aller or Christian Hackenberg or basically any quarterback they've ever had other than Kerry Collins. You give me Trace McSorley And I can win with that dude because he is the ultimate gamer. So we're going to keep listening the next 15 minutes. We're going to have a lot of stuff on that discussion as well.
Sounds good.
Awesome stuff. That's great stuff. Nathan, I got another call on the Pirates here. Everybody wants to talk the Pirates today.
I want to jump in and say right there, I'll tell you what, Nutting is probably the only person that wanted Canada to keep the offensive coordinator position in Steelers because he was the most hated man. Transition. Second Canada got fired, Bob Nutting's on the block. So.
See, I don't agree with that. I mean, they...
You don't think Canada was more hated than...
No, I don't.
Oh, my God.
No way.
I think he's 10 times more hated.
No way, because the Steelers could still win some games. They were still winning some games with Matt Canada, and people were kind of maybe willing to give Canada a little bit of benefit of the doubt because they didn't know how good Kenny Pickett was. I think Bob Nutting gets 100% of the blame for the Pirates. I think there's enough blame for the Steelers that Mike Tomlin gets a lot of blame. Kenny Pickett got a lot of blame. Matt Canada got a lot of blame. And look, I think Matt Canada's the worst offense coordinator here in the history of the NFL, but Bob Nutting's been there for 30 years. Here's the deal. Bob Nutting's been there for 30 years. He's got 30 years of people hating him. Canada was there for two.
Whenever you got people chanting Fire Canada, the steps of the Washington Monument, I don't know. I don't know. I think he was... I don't think Steelers fans are happy with that man one bit.
No, but again, I don't think you could find a single sports fan, not one, that would say anything really good about Bob Nutting.
You think you could find people say positive things about Canada?
Yeah, Matt can't. I mean, he did win some games. See, he was at Pitt. He did win some games.
Did he win the games, or did Kenny Pickett audible?
I think you're missing the point here.
I know.
There
are
other people to blame for the Steelers.
Yes.
I'll place a ton of blame on Mike Tomlin.
You're saying Nutting's the sole reason.
Nutting is the sole reason.
I blame
Matt Canada on Mike Tomlin. You see what I'm getting at?
I blame
Mike Tomlin for going out and making such a horrendous hire of a guy that had no experience. And then I blame Mike Tomlin for bringing that guy back for a second year.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
So there's more to go around there. All right, Jim in Altoona. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to catch the tail end of that Pirates discussion, if that was okay.
Go ahead, buddy.
All the early callers were excellent. Your answers were excellent. But I do think there is one other scenario that people are not considering, and I'm starting to worry more and more about it. PNC Park's lease with the Pirates runs out very soon, within the next couple years. And even as pessimistic as I have been on Bob Nutting, I even thought he would be increasing payroll by this point. I am starting to worry that rather than selling the team, he is intentionally keeping the debt and liabilities low so that it is easier for him to move it to a larger, more lucrative sports market. Unlike Kevin McClatchy, Bob Nutting has never invested personally or emotionally in the team. He is rarely at games. He views it purely as a business and one that is very profitable. And I'm really worried he's shown resentment towards the fans in the past for not attending the games. I am worried that when the lease expires, there is a chance he is going to consider larger cities that are more lucrative and moving them out of Pittsburgh rather than selling the team.
It's fascinating. I looked it up. It's through 2030. So that gives us 6 years, and that's a very interesting scenario all around. And basically what we're saying is, if Bob Nutting can make $50 to $70 million a year losing all the time, if he thinks that he can go make another billion or half billion by moving them to, hell, I don't know. I don't know where else they
would
go.
I don't know what the big market is.
I don't know where they would go.
Like San Antonio, maybe. But I don't think they get enough draw.
But your point is an interesting one, because basically you're saying he would be a traitor to Pittsburgh. And Nathan and I were just debating how much everybody in there hates him anyway.
Yes.
He might just say, screw all you guys. I'm going to go take the biggest paycheck I can get.
Yes, and for years people didn't worry about that because the Nuttings were based just south in West Virginia. But I have been very concerned with the lack of any type of personal interaction. Like, say what you will about Kevin McClatchy. He did not know how to build a winning team. He didn't have the bankroll to do it. But his heart was in the right place. He had that special section built behind home plate.
Mm-hmm.
He was at almost every single game. He wanted to win. He just didn't know how to do it.
Could you?
I worry with could with you, Bob Nutting, that he's just separated himself.
Jim, could you be Bob Nutting? Could you be worth $1 billion but have everybody hate you? Could you live that life?
I could not. And that's one of the misconceptions about Bob Nutting is people assume he is one of the poorer owners in Major League Baseball, and it's simply not the case. He's actually top 10 according to Forbes, so he certainly has the bankroll. He has just not wanted to put any of it into the team.
Thanks, buddy. Good call. Nathan, could you have $1 billion but be hated by everyone?
I don't think so.
I couldn't do it.
I don't think.
I couldn't do it.
I could not.
All right, well,
you know, a market I was thinking about, though, Nashville. Nashville's big market that doesn't have many sports teams down there for sure.
All right. Well, we'll get to Jerry and Bellwood, talk some quarterbacks after this.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Homestead Miami Speedway. Austin Hill locked himself into the Championship Four race at Phoenix after winning at Homestead.
Got to the start-finish line, took the checkered flag. Yeah, I kind of broke down pretty good just because all the blood, sweat, and tears that it takes to get to this point. And everyone that works extremely hard, you know, everybody at RCR, ECR, this whole 21 team, they deserve it just as good as anybody else in the top eight does. So for us to get the job done, I have to go worry about Martinsville, and we can just fully focus on Phoenix. We have 2 weeks to get prepared. Takes a lot of weight off our shoulders, and just so excited to get this win. I've ran well here in the past on the Xfinity side. I've won here in the truck side, so I knew that we could get it done. We just had to put the whole race together and make the right adjustments and do all the right things on the racetrack, and we were able to do that today.
Let's see. Austin led 82 laps on the day, the most of any driver. Cole Custer led 67 laps, and he finished second. Followed by Eric Almirola, Jesse Love, and Sheldon Creed rounds out the top five. Locked into the Championship Four race now are A.J. Allmendinger and Austin Hill. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, only Martinsville Speedway remains to make the championship race Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern on CW. You're on the final lap.
When you switch and save with Progressive, you could use that money towards scoring courtside seats for your favorite team. Progressive cannot guarantee that you can score courtside seats. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds on average, but courtside seats can be astronomical. Maybe if your team plays in a smaller market, you could swing it. Even still, it's unlikely. Maybe fourth row, which are still incredible seats that you'll enjoy greatly. Savings possible. Courtside, long shot. Switch and see if you could save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Progressive cannot guarantee that someone really tall will not sit in front of you at the game, rendering your excellent seats just okay.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. I've helped many guys with ED in my 12 years of practice, but now you can get world-class care for ED 100% online by going to HIMSS.com. So what are you waiting for?
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to HIMSS.com/joy.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 11:30 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
All right, we've had a lot of great discussion here, but we didn't even get to Drew Aller versus Bo Pribula, because I want to get Nathan's thoughts on that. I gave you guys my feelings on it yesterday. Jerry and Bellwood, what's going on, man?
I think that when I saw number 9 Saturday, I thought McSorley had come back at Penn State.
I texted Corey that right.
That's right. Yeah. Would you rather have Trace McSorley or Drew Aller? Or I'll give you Trace McSorley versus anybody in Penn State football history other than Kerry Collins. Who you taking?
Oh, absolutely. I would take Trace McSorley. No doubt about it. He was a leader. yeah, he inspired his teammates. Yeah, I would definitely take him. And I kind of think I got that same impression with Prabhul. I can't say his name. You know who I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the same impression with him. I think I wanted to get your opinion on this, too. I think that the day in college football of the pocket passer is quickly coming to an end. I wouldn't want a pocket passer in college football. I would want a mobile quarterback that can run the ball if need be. I just think you put yourself in handcuffs when you have just a pocket passer.
I'm not going to say you're wrong, but you do still have guys. I mean, Dylan Gabriel can move some for Oregon. He might win the Heisman. It's between Jenty and Dylan Gabriel and Cam Ward. How much does Cam Ward run?
Cam Ward, I think, is actually, Gabriel's the favorite. And then,
how much does Cam Ward run, though? How much does he run?
Oh, I thought you meant odds. Cam Ward, he runs a ton.
He runs a lot.
Yeah, he moves.
Quinn Ewers doesn't run. J.J. McCarthy didn't run a lot. Now, he ran in specific strategic situations for Michigan. They wanted you can still win at a high level with a pocket passer if you have the right system. Now, I think, and this is what we're going to discuss here, I think I can make a very strong case that in Andy Kotelnicki's system, Bo Prabhula gives them every bit as good of a chance as Drew Aller. Now, that might sound crazy. That might sound insane. But if Bo can throw anywhere near like he did Saturday, I said yesterday, Andy Kotelnicki can't even call 15% of the plays that he would want to call for a running quarterback.
Yeah, Jalen Daniels at Kansas. He's a mobile quarterback.
Right. He could call, say you got 500 plays that you could call. If 70 of them involve your quarterback running, how many of those 70 can Andy Kotelnicki run with Drew Aller? 10? 15?
Yeah.
He could run all 70 with Bo Prabhula. But, again, now look, folks, I'm not trying to get crazy here. This all depends on if Bo Prabhula can throw the ball anywhere near as well against a better defense as he did against Wisconsin. Because that's what impressed me the most was him throwing the ball.
Yeah, I just liked his leadership. I had another question for you since we're talking about McSorley. Who would you rather as your backup quarterback have as your backup quarterback, Kenny Pickett or McSorley?
In college or pros?
Pros.
Neither. I don't think either one of them's any good in the NFL. Kenny Pickett's terrible. Trace is a one-dimensional kind of third-string practice squad guy. I mean, he's been in the NFL. I think he's on a roster now.
He was on the Commanders. I don't know if he still is.
Trace is such an awesome dude. He's a great leader. He's a great guy to have around practice. He's a great guy to run your scout team all week. He's not going to do enough. The answer would probably be Kenny Pickett. We at least saw Kenny pull off some fourth quarter magic, but you're really making me want to pound my head against a brick wall having to defend Kenny Pickett for any reason whatsoever.
All right. Hey, thanks, Chris.
Good stuff. Nathan, you're going to get the last word on this. I'm not saying that Bo Prabhula gives them a better chance to win a national championship than Drew Aller. Drew Aller is a proven guy. He protects the football. But in terms of what Andy Kotelnicki wants, could you imagine a lineup where you got Bo Prabhula, Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen, and Tyler Warren all in the backfield, and you don't know who they're going to snap the damn ball to, and they're just like rotating in motion? Mm-hmm. Like somebody yesterday called and said, they might run the wishbone, for God's sake. You're so young. Do you even know what the wishbone is?
I do not know.
The wishbone is like some crazy enhanced version of what Georgia Tech and Navy and Army run. This is what Oklahoma won titles with in the 80s. It's just a crazy running scheme. Where do you stand on that?
So I'm going to say it. I think Bo Prabhula needs to be the starting quarterback Saturday over Drew Aller. I think he gives them
100% Drew Aller?
Yes. I really do. I think because the mobility, I think against an Ohio State defense, which they haven't gotten pressure in these big games, but for some reason they're going to get pressure. You know they're going to get pressure. It's against Penn State. They're somehow going to get pressure. You want Bo Prabhula back there to, number one, move around better. I guess this is kind of the argument I was making with Fields and Wilson, and then that came back to backfire with, you know,
so
Wilson.
Just to be clear, does Bo give them a better chance specifically and strategically against Ohio State, and then Drew is still the guy, or would you say stick with Bo the whole way?
So I think if you put in Bo, you don't go back. That's the thing. You can, you know, if Aller and Aller's,
you have a potential top 10 NFL quarterback We were talking off air about like Anthony Richardson and the leadership thing. It's a bad look to pull yourself out of the game. It's a horrendous look for James Franklin to bench a potential top 10 NFL quarterback.
You know who did that, though?
No quarterback would ever come to Penn State again.
You know who did that? Lincoln Riley. Yeah, Spencer Rattler.
But they were terrible that year. Spencer was turning the ball over left and right when he went to Caleb Williams. I think Oklahoma.
But Aller's scoring what, 9 points in the last two?
But yeah, they have the number three team in the country. I don't think that's a real fair comparison. That Oklahoma team was Spencer Rattler. He was already like really struggling. It was early in the year, second, third game maybe?
Williams? Yeah.
But I think they'd already lost, and I think Spencer was throwing a lot of interceptions.
I don't know.
Unless Drew's throwing a bunch of interceptions and loses
the
job.
Drew's not winning them games. That's the thing. He made a couple of really nice throws in that USC game, but he didn't look fantastic. I mean, he was 14 for 18 against Wisconsin, which that's good. But Perbola was 11 for 13. They're both carving up the defense.
Yeah, I would need to see Bo do this again. Look, Drew didn't do it against Ohio State last year.
That's what I mean.
He was horrible against Ohio State and Michigan. All right, we'll take a break. We'll let Nathan wrap up his crazy thoughts here in just a second.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your Halloween party or trick-or-treat, great times and great snacks go hand-in-hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas. A Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
HFM. All right, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars. Head over to see them, 6481 William Penn Highway. I got a text here, Nathan. I'm 50 years old, and as good as Trace was at PSU, I'd still put him behind Tony Sacca, Darrell Clark, and most definitely Todd Blackledge. Todd's way back in the day. I don't go back that far. I don't remember seeing him. He was great at PSU. I would put Trace above Darrell Clark, and I saw Darrell. I have a lot of respect for Darrell, but Trace could do more. All right, last thoughts here. Who you think starts for Penn State, Nathan?
I think Saturday, Perbola is going to be out there starting. That's my belief right now is Pribble is going to be starting quarterback.
Because Aller gets because Aller's not healthy.
He's not going to get benched. I think Aller's going to be probably 80%, and I think that's not going to cut it against Ohio State.
That would be my guess as well. I think Aller probably still is going to be a little too banged up, and 100% Bo Pribula is better than an 85% Drew Aller. If Aller's 90%+, he knows all the playbook and everything, they may go with him. All right, folks, we got our Black and Gold Breakdown show coming up here in just a few minutes. Stick around. Give us a call.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WK.